Presence that were an encouragement to you. Invite you to take your Bibles out and be open to the book of Acts and turning into chapter 24 of Acts, please. As in just a moment, we'll begin our study of God's Word in Acts 24. You know, we are a people, undoubtedly, that are connected to our technology. We are always being entertained, whether that be our TV, movies, whether that be internet, and browsing our favorite websites, whether that be for some people, Twitter and blogs, or social media, such as Facebook and Pinterest, whether that be Netflix, or Xbox 360 and PlayStation, whether it be our iPhones, iPads, tablets, and smartphones, we're always being entertained. And tonight I would like for us to consider the effects of entertainment. Effects of entertainment on our time, the effects of entertainment on our mind, and the effects of entertainment on our influence. Well, number one, on our time. In Acts chapter 24, in verse 25, as Paul stood before Felix and preached to him the gospel of Christ, we read in verse 25, "But as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, 'Go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you.'" Isn't that the common cry of our generation? I don't have time. And yet we all get the same time. Each of us gets the exact number of days, hours, and minutes of every week. And yet we constantly say, I don't have time. Consider with me these television watching statistics. They're a little bit dated, but 2012, the average time spent watching television per day in the United States is 5 hours. The years the average person will have spent watching TV is 9 years. Now that's the equivalent of 78,880 hours of watching TV. Have you heard of the 23rd channel? The TV is my shepherd. My spiritual growth shall want, and makes me to sit down and do nothing for his name's sake. It requires all my spare time. It keeps me from doing my Christian duty. It produces so many good shows that I must see. It restores my knowledge of the world. It keeps me from the study of God's Word. It leads me in the path of failing to attend worship and doing nothing for the kingdom of God. Yea, though I live to be 100 years old, I shall view my TV as long as it works. It seems to be my closest companion. Its sounds and pictures, they comfort me. It provides entertainment for me and keeps me from doing important things with my family. It fills my head with ideas which differ from God's will. Surely, because of all the wasted hours, there will be a lack of reward at the gates of heaven. I shall not dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, which is it? Psalm 23 or Channel 23? Which is yours? But again, I don't have time. Now, that doesn't even include internet usage. That's just television. You see, at least with television, there's a natural stopping point. But that's not true of the internet. You get on there and say, well, I'm just going to check my email. Oh, I wonder what the weather's going to be like tomorrow. Well, look who posted on Facebook and look who else posted on Facebook and over. And then you check out the news, perhaps, or the sports. And before you know it, 1, 2, maybe 3 hours have passed. And yet we say, I just don't have time. I can think of too many nights when I've gone to bed where I said to myself, well, I didn't have time to do my Bible reading today. Well, I didn't have time to make those phone calls I'd intended to make. Well, I didn't have time to make those visits to those in the nursing home or the hospital like I had hoped to. I really can't think of too often, if ever, where I've gone to bed and said, well, I just didn't have time to check my email today. I didn't have time to get on the internet today. I didn't have time to watch a little TV today. We must admit the effects of entertainment on our time, brother. In Ephesians chapter 5, if you'll turn in your Bibles there, please. Ephesians 5. Notice what the Apostle Paul says here to us in verses 15 and 16. He says to the saints in Ephesus, and recorded, of course, and preserved for our Christians today, see then that you walk circumspectly or carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Making the most of your time. The English Standard Version says making the best use of the time. And so Paul speaks to the value of your time and of my time. And we must rescue our time and use it for good pursuits. Use it to God's glory. Now I realize that we all need leisure time, downtime, to relax and kick back, but our problem is that leisure time becomes lazy time. And lazy time becomes too much of the time. Would you consider 5 hours a day of watching television a good use of our time? Would you consider nine years of watching TV as making the most and best use of it? In Colossians chapter 4, a companion passage to the one we just read in Ephesians, but in Colossians 4, if you'll turn over there, please. And in verse 5, Paul simply says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, again, redeeming the time. The NIV here says, make the most of every opportunity. That's something I need to be reminded of every day, don't you? To redeem the time, to make the most of every opportunity, to make the best use of the precious time that we're given. And you can apply that to the precious time that we're given with our spouse, with our children, to redeem the time when it comes to evangelism, as we talked about Sunday morning. But tonight, as we're focused on the effects of entertainment on our time, we need to think about, am I redeeming the time and my use? Notice in Matthew 24, if you'll be turning there, as you're turning there, shouldn't we be a people who are watching and waiting for the coming of our Lord? Well, the Bible says we should be. Here in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42 beginning, the Lord says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Verse 42, watch therefore. And so we should be a people who are watching in expectation for our Lord, but how often do we really think about that he's going to come as a thief in the night? He could come at any time. He could come this night. We need to be watching for him. And shouldn't we be those who are also watching out for lost souls who are in need of the Savior? Matthew 9, a passage again that we've emphasized a number of times this week already, where Jesus sees the multitudes, has compassion on them. They're like sheep who are scattered, weary, and having no shepherd. So he shepherded them. But he said to his disciples, that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. But again, a common objection as to why we're not being evangelistic is I don't have time, really, for that. After all, that's the preacher's job, right? Well, it is the job. But it's all of our responsibility to reach out to the lost with the gospel. But, I don't have time. I'm so busy. We're all busy, aren't we not? But again, perhaps instead of watching one thing, TV, internet, we could be watching out for those who are lost. When a preacher moved to the Washington, D.C. area many years ago, he understood it, as I think you and I would, to be a difficult field to convert the lost. Many of his friends tried to talk him out of moving there, but he went anyway. In the first year, he baptized 12 to 15 people. The second year, he had similar results, and so everyone wanted to know what his secret was. They asked him, how is it that you are converting people in a place that has been so difficult to do that? And he said, well, I'll tell you, it's very easy. I just condition myself to feel guilty sitting at home at night watching TV. That was his answer. And I tell you what concerns me. I feel like sometimes that I have conditioned myself not to feel guilty sitting at home at night, watching TV, surfing the internet. Can we be honest, brethren, and acknowledge that our entertainment affects our time? Time with our family. Time with God's Word. Reading it, meditating in it. Time in prayer, as we're to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Time to go and visit the sick, whether that be physical needs or those who are spiritually weak and struggling in their faith and need encouragement and maybe need a Bible study as well. And time, as we've already mentioned, to convert the lost, to go preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16:15. Secondly, entertainment has an effect on our minds because how we think is going to determine how we live. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, for as he thinks in his heart, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It all begins right here, doesn't it?
Yes.
The mind. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul said, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Again, it all begins here. We get the mind as it should be. Then our thoughts will be as they should be. Our words will be as they should be. Our actions will be. Everything flows out of the mind, though. And so we must have a renewing of our mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here's the thing. You sow a thought and you reap a word. You sow a word, you reap an action. You sow an action, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. You sow a character, then you're going to reap a destiny. But it all starts with the mind. We read in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Don't you see that if a 30-second commercial can sell us on some product, boy, I got to have that, that a 30-minute sitcom can sell us on a lifestyle or at least desensitize us to things that used to upset us and offend us, that now we sit there and we watch it and maybe even entertained by it. You look at our culture and words and phrases that are popular among people are things that we first heard on television. They have an influence on us. They start in our mind and they become a part of our vocabulary. They become a part of our character before too long. I want to read to you this evening a few excerpts from the motion picture code that was used in making television and movies in our country from the years 1930 to 1966. Okay? So again, this is the code that was the motion picture code used making television and movies 1930, 1966 in this country. The sanctity of the institution of marriage and the home shall be upheld. Pictures shall not infer that low forms of the sex relationship are the accepted or common thing. Adultery, sometimes necessary plot material, must not be explicitly treated or justified or presented attractively. Sex perversion of or any inference to it is forbidden. Obscenity in word, gesture, reference, song, joke, or by suggestion, even when likely to be understood only by part of the audience, is forbidden. Dances, suggesting or representing sexual actions or indecent passions, are forbidden. Dances which emphasize indecent movements are to be regarded as obscene. The technique of murder must be presented in a way that will not inspire imitation. Brutal killings are not to be presented in detail. The use of firearms should be restricted to the essentials. Methods of crime should not be explicitly presented. The basic dignity and value of human life shall be respected and upheld. Pointed profanity. They say this includes the words God, Lord, Jesus, Christ, unless used reverently, or every other profane or vulgar expression, however used, is forbidden. No picture shall be produced that will lower the moral standards of those who see it. Hence, the sympathy of the audience should be thrown to the side of crime, wrongdoing, evil, or sin. Correct entertainment raises the whole standard of a nation. Wrong entertainment lowers the whole living conditions and moral ideals of a race. If motion pictures present stories that will affect our lives for the better, they can become the most powerful force for the improvement of mankind. Ladies and gentlemen, pictures in our country used to conform to those standards. And we say, my, how times have changed. We don't even have commercials that are held to these standards anymore. Right. And we think about shows that we watch as a family. We think about when we grew up, our parents would never have let us watch those shows. And now all of a sudden, they're not all that bad. And so it's not just the standards that have changed, but our own standards that have changed as to what is acceptable and what is unacceptable entertainment. How about if, like David, each one of us would resolve this: I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Now that going to rule out a lot of stuff right here and on the internet. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. That'd be a good scripture to have up in our living room, in our office, or wherever our computer is, wherever our TV is. Psalm 119, verse 37, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Should get the remote out and flip the channels if you have a TV, if you have all those channels. There's worthless things that we need to turn our eyes away from, isn't it? Not fit for us, not fit for our children. In Colossians 3, in those first three verses, the Apostle Paul to the saints in Colossae, on the chart here from the New King James Version: if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Paul says you died, what's he talking about? Well, the old man of sin. And the things of this world, we're supposed to put that to death when we obey the gospel. We've been raised with Christ. Seek those things above where he is. Set your mind on things above. Now let me ask you something. Is it possible to have your mind set on above when your television is set on things below? Can we do that? Oh, I forgot. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect us, right? How about Philippians chapter 4, verse 8? Now, Paul wasn't talking about television here. I was talking about Facebook here. Or the internet. But it applies. These principles of truth certainly apply greatly to our subject tonight. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. If there is any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think on these things, Paul says. Now, brethren, if you were to take out a sheet of paper, and just list all those words from verse 8, true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy, would you be able on the other side of the piece of paper to plug in your favorite television shows next to those words? Tell me, which one is lovely? Which one is praiseworthy? Which one is pure? Which one is virtuous? I'm sure many of you are not on Facebook, but if you are, you'll see brethren who sometimes talk about their favorite shows. Wow, do we tell on ourselves? As we've mentioned last night in our sermon, have we forgotten how to blush? Are we not ashamed? Evidently not, because we're putting out there for everybody, this is my favorite show. And some of the things that are mentioned by saints that they watch and they're excited about. And you think about a passage like this, Philippians 4:8. Whoever came up with the idea that it's okay to watch what we want to watch as long as we send the kids out of the room? As long as we send the children upstairs, downstairs, wherever, to their bedroom, then we can watch whatever we want to watch. You know, often TV shows or movies may say that the following is not suitable for children. Well, is it suitable for Christians? Is that going to help us set our mind on things above and to meditate on things where Christ is? You know, someone might say, well, I understand what you're saying, preacher. I do. But it's funny. Do you think the Lord's laughing at a lot of things that we view and watch as his people? When homosexuality is displayed as something funny, as it oftentimes is that not still a sin that nailed Jesus to the cross? When children are so disrespectful to parents and grown-ups, is that something funny? And are we teaching our children something, and our young people something we don't want to be teaching them? As they sit there and view that and hear us laughing. When marriage is portrayed as something inconvenient instead of something that is holy and undefiled, is that funny? When the husband, the father, is so often portrayed as a clueless, incompetent fool, and everybody laughs, is that really funny? You see, it does affect us. And of course, it's not just television that negatively affects our mind, but also the music that we choose to listen to. Because we're talking about the effects of entertainment on this point on our minds and what we're listening to. Have you caught yourself that you really enjoyed a song and the melody, the beat, the rhythm, whatever, and then one day you just stopped and actually do the lyrics? Like, oh, I didn't realize those words were in that song. I don't know if you've done that. I've done that in the past. And well, that's not something I need to be enjoying then, and turning up and listening to. And not just us grown-ups, we need to be mindful of what our children are listening to. What music are they listening to? What are they buying? What are we buying for them? Because it affects our minds. And much of the content, of course, found on the World Wide Web is very ungodly. There's a lot of good uses, of course, for the internet, but there's a lot of terrible things on the internet. And we need to protect ourselves, and we need to protect our families. And yet the video games that we choose to play or allow our children to play, we must give very careful consideration to such things and make wise, godly decisions about the effects of entertainment on our mind. And I want you to know, before we leave this point, that entertainment affects our minds when we come to worship. It does. Because all of a sudden we think, because we've been entertained all day, that the worship service needs to focus more on the package and presentation than the content. And all of a sudden, if it's not done with a style that is compatible to our desires, then, you know, it kind of becomes stale and boring to us. And oh, what a weariness. And instead of asking, what do I put into it, we focus all of our attention on what do I get out of it. But entertainment does affect our worship. Our children become accustomed to being entertained, don't they? Our young people accustomed to being entertained. I remember growing up, many of you will, you get in the car on a road trip, you want to be entertained, look out your window, right? Boy, that ain't going to work now. Right? And I'm just talking about other families. I'm talking about my own family. And we have a van, and the TV comes down. But I would have loved that as a kid. I won't lie to you. And so you pop movies in there. But boy, you know, what drives me nuts when my kids start talking about they're bored. I said, okay, I got a job for you, you know. But how can you be bored? All the things you have to do. How can you be bored? All the things you have to play with. Go outside. No, that's what we did growing up, right? We went outside and played. You're on a road trip, look outside the window. Play, make up games. But young people and children, I guess any generation, but I think especially in our generation, this present generation, they're used to being entertained. And if we're not very careful with our parenting, they expect it when we assemble for worship. So we bring games and toys and things to keep them, watch it now, entertained. I've been preaching before and seen a family sitting in the back, and they have like a basket of toys there. And the kids are down there playing with them and everything, and they're what? They're keeping them entertained. And so they'll do that, and we can better listen to the lesson. How about training them to sit in their seat and be teaching them that we're here to worship God? We're here to remember the Lord Savior on the first day of the week. We're here to turn in our psalm books and teach them at a very young age to have their psalm books open, help them find the page until they get a little older and they can do it themselves. And so when I see one of my children doing something else when we're singing songs, all I do is motion, or mom motion, and they know what they're supposed to be doing. They usually do, but get that psalm book out. And when the preacher's up there preaching, start taking notes. And even at a very young age, just start doing what you can do, okay? But with the common use today of smartphones and iPhones and iPads and tablets, and kids have these as well, right? There's a certain temptation to misuse those devices when we come together for Bible study and worship. They can be used as our Bible. A lot of brethren today, I know, use their smartphones and tablets for their Bible, and that's fine. I'm old-fashioned, but I'm that's okay. If you're using it for your Bible, great. Also, you can have Bible study tools on that as well. And some brethren have helped me in a Bible class. Question comes up, and they can use a Bible study tool or have a search engine to look a passage up real quick, and that's helpful. But there's also the temptation of using them to check our email to send text response to someone, maybe to play a game. Check our Facebook page or Pinterest, check the score of a game. I've seen all these sort of things done by brethren. And yes, adults and children have been guilty of such during worship. And so entertainment even affects our worship. And we need to be very aware and conscientious of this, I believe. Elders do, preachers do, parents in particular do. And what is allowed and what is not allowed when we come here to worship our God. With godly fear and reverence, I hope. Thirdly, entertainment has an effect on our influence. It affects your influence on your family. Entertainment does. What example are we setting for our spouse in the realm of entertainment? In Ephesians chapter 5, you'll notice there with me, please. Verse 22, we read, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." And verse 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife," is head of the wife, excuse me, "as also Christ is head of the church. He is the Savior of the body." Who's the spiritual leader in the home? Who's supposed to be? The husband, the man, right? God's given that to the man. And so as we think about our subject tonight and the effects of entertainment, me as the spiritual leader of my home, what example am I setting for my family? What example am I setting for my spouse, number one? And what example are we setting for our children in the realm of entertainment? My duty as a parent, our duty as parents, is to train up our child in the way they should go as best we can. And that when they're older, hopefully, they won't depart from that way of the Lord. As fathers, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but what? Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Well, we need to think about such passages and others like that when it comes to entertainment and what we allow our children to watch. What example are we setting for them in that realm? What do they see us watching? How much time do we allow them to waste on such things? Do we set a limit on that? Do we set parameters? Yes, on the content, of course, but also on the time as well spent on that. And what habits will they form as a result and later take into their own home? Because of what we taught them while they were in our home. In Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 44, we read, "Indeed, everyone who quotes Proverbs will use this proverb against you. Like mother, like daughter." And we could, I think, add to that, like father, like son. And boy, do young people and children pick up on the things we say, on the things they see us do, and then they imitate that, right? I mean, our little two-year-old, hearing her four, now five-year-old sister say, "Shut up," and then she said it, that set me and mama off. And so they both got in trouble, but especially the older sister. She said a bad example. She don't need to be saying that. And certainly, little Claire don't need to be saying that. But they pick it up from their sister or brother. They pick it up from other children. They pick it up from something they hear on TV and television shows. They pick it up from what they hear and see in us. And we need to be very mindful of that. What are we setting? What influence are we having on our family in this area? Do you know what we need in our homes today? We need the same courage and conviction of Joshua of old. When he declared, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." And then he would go on to say at the end of that verse, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Or we might say, in connection to our lesson tonight, "Choose for yourselves this day your entertainment." But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let us follow in the steps of Joshua. And no matter what everyone else is deciding to watch and view and do, it doesn't change what we have decided to do in our home. We will set no worthless, wicked thing before our eyes or before our children's eyes. Rather, we will serve the Lord righteously and faithfully. And when we mess up, and we will, we make it right with the Lord, we make it right with our family, and we do better. And of course, we must all be mindful of our influence upon those in this world, because they're watching us, aren't they? We read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, see that you walk on carefully, circumspectly. Yeah, we need to do that in our homes. We need to walk carefully. We need to do that in the Lord's church. We need to do that, though, just in our day-to-day lives. As we live our lives and go to work and go to school and what our neighbors see. What do our neighbors see? If they come over to our house or we go out, how do they see us being entertained? What influence are we having as we are to be a salt to the earth that does not lose its flavor, that we're to be a light that shines brightly in a dark world? Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and at verse 15, that you become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. You think about entertainment today, and there's so many things that can be described as crooked and perverse and corrupt and wicked. But brethren, we're told here in our Bibles that in the midst of that, we are to be shining as lights in this world. And we need to also in this realm of entertainment. Now, I understand that all these forms of entertainment and communication can be used for good, can't they? They can. Have people been taught the gospel via email? Sure they have. Skype? Sure. There's lots of studies that have and continue to take place because of modern technology across the globe. For a while, weekly, I was having a Bible study with a couple up in New York, upper state New York. I'm down there in Texas. That's pretty neat. And then a brother, John Gentry, maybe you've heard of John, but he lived in Moldova over in Europe for a while. He came home, he and his family, to the States for a few weeks, and he was asking different men to fill in for him and the classes and lessons that he would teach, and I had the privilege of filling in on one occasion, first time I met our brethren over in Moldova, and it was via Skype, able to have a Bible study with him. That's pretty neat. But many people have been taught the gospel because of the things we're talking about tonight. And we certainly can take the gospel to places it hasn't gone before. We can stay connected to one another with such ease that any time we can say something uplifting to our brethren, that we're praying for them, that we're thinking about them in an instant. But you see how creative that is. However, in taking something useful for good, as he always does, and turning it into a channel of slavery and evil. And finally, I would say please be careful to keep in mind the following three scriptures whenever and whatever you sit down to watch TV or browse the internet, get on Facebook and so on. Proverbs 5:21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. That's a good scripture to keep in mind, is it not, when it comes to entertainment? Also in Proverbs 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Yes, they're in our homes, in our bedroom, where our computer is, though we may shut the door. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and on the good. These are sobering passages to consider. And in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. The various forms of entertainment today really are a clear and present danger to our families and to ourselves. Don't be deceived into thinking it doesn't affect me or it doesn't affect my family, because entertainment has a tremendous effect on our time, on our mind, and yes, on our influence. If you will, take out your hymn book and open to the song of invitation that has been selected by Brother Al. Thank you for being here tonight, to the members, but especially to our visitors. Appreciate it so much. Every time I preach this lesson, I'm reminded I need this lesson too. I need the reminder. That's why Peter, he would say, though you know these things already, I put you in remembrance. I'm going to remind you, because these things are so important. Anything from the Bible is important, but we need to hear these scriptures, and we need to hear these kind of lessons. I think many times, not saying me preaching them, but just the application of it and the day and age that we live in, the effects of entertainment, and boy, does it have its effects on these three areas, our time, our mind, and our influence. We just read and put up on the screen Hebrews 4, verse 13. And again, that says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Jesus says every idle word we'll give an account for, right? There in Matthew 12. But we're going to give an account for everything. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may give an account for what he has done in the body, whether good or bad. And so, yes, even the realm of entertainment, we're going to give an account. And perhaps there's some things in that realm that we need to humble ourselves before God and seek his forgiveness, repent and seek his forgiveness. Make some changes in our lives individually. Make some changes in our homes as a family, because we want to be godly families. We want to be a family that does indeed serve the Lord, regardless of whatever everyone else may be doing. But let's think about that. There is one who knows all things about us, and one day we're going to give an account to him. Are you ready to give an account to him right now? If he were to come, as we read in Matthew 24, as he could come at any time, in an hour we do not expect. And so if you're not a child of God, then you're not ready. You need to get ready. And you get ready and prepared by becoming God's child, by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, John 3:16, by repenting of your sins. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glory. So for all of us, there's a need and a requirement of repenting, turning from the sin, turning to God, seeking to do his will, Acts 17:30 and 31. And you and I, to be saved, must confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in our heart, here's the Bible heart, that God raised him from the dead. You serve a risen Savior, Romans 10:9-10. And then be buried with him in baptism. Have thy sins washed away. Be raised to walk in newness of life. Romans 6:3-4, Acts 22:16. It's for the forgiveness of sins. Not because you have already received them, but in order to receive the forgiveness of sins, you must be baptized into Christ. Acts 2:38. If you haven't taken those steps, we would plead with you to do that tonight. If you have, but there's some sin in your life, remember, there is an all-seeing, all-knowing God that you and I will have to give an account to, perhaps sooner rather than later. We don't know. And if there's some sin in your life, something that's wrong, then make things right with the Lord. Serve him faithfully with a full heart of loyalty and love. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, come now, please, as we stand and we sing.
Sinner Jesus will.